all heard the familiar idiom, every cloud has a silver lining. But when it comes to the healthy profits being earned by the Detroit automakers and the profit-sharing checks going to auto workers, my next guest makes the point the converse could also be true, that every silver lining has a cloud. Tom Walsh, Detroit Free Press business columnist. Welcome back to Stateside.
Well, you're putting me, you're painting me as a pessimist now. I'm going negative on everything. Oh,
well,
no.
Not so much negative, but there are challenges behind these great headlines. Chrysler's earned profit $1.8 billion and Ford's was $7.2 billion. So workers are going to see profit-sharing checks. Everybody's happy. What's not to like?
Well, this is a tough business. Every business is a tough business, but the auto business is particularly cyclical. And we've had a nice run of several years of good profits and rebounding sales, hiring, adding shifts by all these companies in ways that, you know, we could not have imagined 5 years ago. I mean, people really wouldn't have given you a plug nickel that Chrysler would even still be here.
Yeah.
And now they're making billions of dollars of profits and sharing a lot of it with the workers. And it all looks good. Now, what happens next when we come to next year is a new round of bargaining the UAW contracts. Well, the last time they did this, obviously, you know, things were in pretty dire shape, and the government was owning some of the car companies, and the UAW didn't have hardly any clout in the last two contract negotiations.
Right.
And now veteran line workers haven't had an actual base pay raise in 10 years. They have gotten profit-sharing checks, and when things are good, that solves a lot of problems. But those aren't guaranteed in future years if things go in the tank.
Sure.
In the case of some of the lower-tier, newer hires that they're making, that profit-sharing at Ford can be like 25% of their annual pay.
Yeah, because they're getting the same amount, aren't they? We've got this two-tier wage system because of the near death. So you've got those folks. Everybody's getting the same amount.
Everybody gets the same amount of profit sharing. The new worker might be making barely half of the base wage of the old worker, but they all get the same level of profit sharing, assuming they work the same number of hours.
So it seems that there could be some resentments engendered on both with this two-tier system. You could see resentment on plant floors as people look at somebody on the line next to them making twice what he's making.
So you've had that built in. And then now the younger folks are, you know, there's been talk of, well, we should narrow the gap between the new hires and the old hires, and we should, you know, they should do something for us. A complicating factor in all of this is right to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the unions aren't going away in our major auto companies, but you know, right to work is basically saying no more closed shop. You can't force people to pay dues. Now, you know, I think the vast majority of the workers at the plants are probably paying their dues. But, you know, if they don't do anything for the lower paid workers and they're thinking, what am I paying dues for if I'm only going to get half the money and they're not reducing the gap here, I think there is some concern that the union leadership has to show that, you know, they're adding value for these workers. Otherwise, you know, will they stop paying dues or cut back? You know, there's a lot at stake here in these next round of negotiations. And both the UAW leadership, with Bob King leaving office, and at least, I think, two of the three vice presidents that will negotiate with the automakers will be different.
So they'll
be
green.
Side, as well as at the company side. So there'll be a lot of new people at the table.
Tom, it seems to me there'll be as much pressure on the UAW leaders from the rank and file to, you know, maybe get that raise in base pay or try to narrow that two-tier system as there will be on the auto companies to not fall back into the same practices or bad habits that got them on death row in the first place.
Well, exactly. Over many, many years, and it wasn't, you know, a lot of people blame the unions, but, you know, it took two to sign all those contracts. You know, they had boxed themselves into a situation where they were paying people, you know, no matter what the volume and price they were getting out of their cars was. So even if they were losing money and losing sales, they were still paying folks, and in most contracts giving them raises because they would get whipsawed. They didn't want to go down and let their competition keep producing. So what the crisis did was, you know, allowed the automakers to basically tailor production to meet demand, mm-hmm. to, you know, to give them the power to vary the size of the workforce and pay levels with more variable pay in terms of profit sharing to match the cycles. So they definitely don't want to go back to this huge fixed cost structure, and I think they'll dig in on some of this stuff. But it'll be interesting to see. They'll everybody would say, hey, you know, we all kind of, you know, hunkered down and did what we needed to do when our backs were to the wall, and we'll be smart about this. We'll see.
Keeping a long eye on those 2015 auto contract talks. Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh, thank you so much for talking with us, Tom.
All right, Cindy, take care.